Okay, this is very special because we don't usually get to give shmuzim on Re'eh. Re'eh is before Rosh Chodesh. Pasuk says, so start with the beginning. Re'eh anoichi noisein ifneichem hayoim bracha v'klada. It's not clear whether the bracha klada means an item haza, an item haba, both. Okay. Re'eh usually means all the Mefarshim always say, Re'eh, also Shema, always means not just, I mean, you know, it doesn't mean you don't see with your eyes, it means to focus, to concentrate. It means something which takes deep thought, something which is not so pashut. You have to say Re'eh, you should see. Okay. Apparently, the word Anochi, apparently, is the Chazal felt. He said the Rabbeinu Bawi Taisus felt was extra. Moshe doesn't you should just say Re'eh Hashem is there. Re'eh, there's a, you have bracha v'klala. Anyway, so Rashi the Raturim says Bawi Taisus says Re'eh zeh ani omer lecha shetivchar bechar lecha ois beoiso shamar anochi Hashem elokecha. So anochi, his first child says it's a remez to anochi Hashem elokecha. Okay. So Re'eh Hashem think means think about Hashem. Okay, but I want the second shot. Davar Acher. Re'eh Anochi. Look at me. Shebechartem b'tayva. We chose good. U'lefikach ani mishune. And really should be shebechartem b'tayva pashtus. And therefore, lefikach ani mishuna mikol. Shneimar Moshe layada kikaren or panav. And as Moshe had this amazing thing, Moshe went ahead and he had kikaren or panav. Nobody in the history of the world had such a thing. Light coming out of his face. So Moshe was mishuna. How did Moshe become mishuna? Chartem b'tayva went ahead and he chose good. So he's saying, it's like this a motivation. The Alshech or the Orachayim says both, I don't remember if it was the Alshech or Orachayim. I'm sorry, I forgot. They said very much a similar pshat. That Moshe was trying to motivate Klal Yisrael. And he was saying, you see, look at me. You see, I chose Tov, and look what happened. I became a shunna. I became weird, unusual, beyond normal human capacity. Light coming out of my face. So you see, so that should motivate you to do the same. So it's a very strange Chazal, in the simple shot. After all, we know Moshe Rabbeinu is Ana Miko Adam. Moshe is Ana Miko Adam. The definition of an Anav is that he doesn't like to praise himself, doesn't like attention, doesn't want everyone. The whole idea of Re'eh Anochi, look at me, that's the antithesis of Anivas. You get up and look at me, look, I'm the greatest, everyone, look at me. Yeah, that's how the Moshe Rabbeinu here, according to the Bawi Taisus, he's our Rishonim. And I believe the Alshech is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling everyone, look at me. See, look how great I am. It's Anivus. So I assume the Parshat shot is, and is that we know a rule in Anivus, that Anivus is only when it's in place, but when there's a need to stand up and it's beneficial, so then you can't be an Anav, right? That's what famous lines to show, Im katan ata beinecha rosh shifta Yisrael ata. In other words, there's a certain times a person can't be an Anav. And if you're the world's greatest doctor, and you see someone who's being treated that some other doctor doesn't know as much as you, and he's treating the patient improperly, you don't say, well, excuse me, I don't really know too much, but I think you're doing a mistake. No, you tell him, excuse me, buddy, I am the world's greatest doctor, I'm the world's greatest expert, I know 100 times more than you, and you are blowing it, because there are sometimes there's necessities where you have to come out and say you're godless, because otherwise people won't listen to you. So in this case, it has to be that if Moshe felt, if he would just say, listen, you got bracha and klala, you got opportunities, you can become a tzaddik, you can be a rasha, you can get Gan Eden, you can get Gehenim, you have all these opportunities, it wouldn't have the same hashpa. But by saying Re'ei Anochi, by giving a physical, visual application, look, it's not just theoretical, it could be done, you could be a tzaddik. Here, the flesh and blood, someone who did it. Oh, that makes it so much easier to inspire yourself. You look at him and you say, oh, he did it, if he did it, I can do it, right? It's not just theoretical, it could be done. It was done. Someone that you know, someone that you met, someone in your lifetime did it. Oh, okay. That makes it so much easier. So as much as Moshe Rabbeinu Pashtus did not like taking the limelight, and did not want, would have much preferred if he wouldn't say, if everyone not look at him, but what I got to do? For the sake of the Harbatz HaSaira, you got to do things that you're not comfortable with. You got to stand up and say it. That's what I assume is Pashtus Shat. The problem is that this seems to go against everything we always say. Basically, every mechanech basically will always tell you that don't look at other people. Yeshiva is not a competition between you and everybody else. The yeshiva, you're the only person you're competing with is yourself. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't judge you based on other people. Hashem judge each person individually according to your keiches. Don't look at the other guy. He's just going to get depressed. He's better than me. Okay. That's irrelevant. He has different nishyness. He has different IQ, different yetzahara. You shouldn't go ahead and look at other people. You should always, that's the most common pep talk. At least one of the most common pep talks that you have, that Machan can come. I think, I don't know if I recall, Rabbi Grunblatt gave that speech last year. I don't remember. I think so. Someone definitely gave that speech last year, that every person has to judge. It's yourself. It's not nothing to do with the other guy. Focus on yourself. And fakirat, they tell people, and adarabba, what the other guy does has nothing to do with you, because why should you get upset that he's better than you? He's not necessarily better. He's just smarter. He doesn't have the same nisyanis that you had. He didn't have your yetzahara. He didn't have your taivis. He doesn't have your, his father was the Rosh Hashiva, his father the God Adar, right? Whatever it is. So we always say that it's not healthy to look at other people, and it's not a raya, because everyone's different. So what's Moshe doing? First of all, it's not healthy. No one can reach Moshe. Does he really think that someone in Klai Yisrael is going to reach the level that Karin or Panav? So what's he doing? He's getting everyone depressed. He's telling them, hey, look at me, I have Karin or Panav. Yeah, you can too. Yeah, so what's going to happen? He's not going to get Karin or Panav. It didn't happen. No one else got Karin or Panav. Right? We say, it's one of the Yud Gimel Ani Mamim. So, come Yisrael, come Moshe. Oh, in the Moshe, no one will ever reach the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu. So, first of all, it's getting everyone depressed. It's not healthy. And second of all, it's meaningless. What do you mean? Look at you. What are you talking about? Your father was Amram. Right? The whole Sipporno in Shmos, why that Moshe Rabbeinu's he direct descendant, that every single father, grandfather, great-grandfather, Amram, Tekos, Levi, were all the Gedolei Ador. He had the greatest Rebbeim. He obviously had, Rashi says that when he was born, when he was a baby at birth, the Vayar Kitoi, that the room lit up. That doesn't happen to most of us, that when we're born, there's some mystical light. We had obviously some tremendous mystical kaiches. He has nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what? First, it's not healthy, and it's not true. What did the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu reached Kikar and Or Panav, what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with anyone in Klal Yisrael? So here, Moshe is doing something which I'm assuming is against his grain. He doesn't want to do it. He's doing it only because there's a Toawas. There's a negative Toawas. And it's not true. It's not emistic. So what I think the answer is, and I think it's a very big insight, and it's a good way really to start this man, got past the first pasuk in the parsha, but it's a good parsha, it's a good start, is that Moshe doesn't say, look at me, I'm a shunna, I'm the world's greatest Talmud Chacham. Look at me, I had nevuah, I spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a bucky in Kol HaTorah Kulah, Memtesh Shari Chachma. He said, Karan Arpanav. Karan Arpanav is a sign of Sidkus. It's a Sidkus that he has. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I'm a tzaddik. I reached such a tremendous high level of Sidkus. You see, there are many, many things you could point to Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't usually think, when we think of the greatness of Moshe, Kikaran Arpanav. But I'm thinking that's because that's a sign of, it's like Hashem gave him a stamp of covet, because he's such a tzaddik. Which means that what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is, if you want to be, you could be a tzaddik like me. You'll never be as big as a Talmud Chacham as me. I'm smarter than you. I have Memtesh Shari Chachma. I have a bigger, I can sit and learn 40 days without eating and drinking. No one can do that without sleeping, you know. I have physical kaiches, I have yichus, I have brachas, but as far as kedusha, I'm not any better than you. If I became a tzaddik, you can become a tzaddik. There's no cheating when it comes to being sitkus. And when he's telling Klal Yisrael that you can also, that every person in Klal Yisrael, you can do it too, and you should fakir it. In this area, person should look at other people, because people don't really believe that we can become a tzaddik. You know, if you're looking at the other guy and saying, oh, he does better than me in shir, he asks better questions, he learns better, he's smarter, that's destructive. And it just causes depression, because you can't, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, he has a bigger IQ. That's the metzias of the world. But if you look at him and say, oh, he's such a tzaddik, he's sincere, he reached Sidkus. You can also be sincere and reach Sidkus. That doesn't come with IQ, and it doesn't come with anything. That comes just from the person himself. And every person can do that. And it's healthy. It's healthy to look at a person and say, oh, here's a Basar Vidam. Look at a Madrega of Kedusha that a Basar Vidam can reach. I can do it too. Which means that it's even as we say, in the beginning of this man, to go ahead and inspire us. It's not to inspire us that I'm necessarily going to become the next God of Adar. I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe not. I know that's not the way we usually inspire people. You know, God of Adar, that depends on maybe sometimes other factors. You know, that we don't know. Maybe, you know, it's harder. But you can become the tzaddik Adar. You can become you can reach a tremendous level, you can reach that tremendous level of Kedusha, of Sidkus, of Kedusha, and that's such an inspiring thing. If I use my Kaychus, I can reach that tremendous level. Now, of course, the person can have a Kasha, a Pircha, and say, okay, granted, Moshe said that to Klal Yisrael and the Dor HaMidbar. Okay, Enochinami, there's a tremendous gap between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Dor HaMidbar. But what did that do with me? You know, I already grew up in America, and I had all these, a whole history. So it's amazing. See how the very next word is a gra, which I don't really have a shmooze on, but I don't think you need a shmooze. It's my favorite. The shmooze is a gra. There's no shmooze. It's what he says is a tremendous chiddush. The Gra says, the Pasuk says, Re'e Anochi Nosein. Nosein means a matana, a gift. Shakosh Baruch Hu Misalek Mimenu. It's a gift. It's up to you. It's not Hashem. Hashem leaves it. If you want, it's yours. It's up to you. Hashem goes ahead and gives it, and you want to take it, you can take it. It's not nothing. It's like he makes it hefker in the street. Now it's up to you. Yes, you take it. Yes, if not, not. Shem retayim maybe you'll say habechira nothing out to be made by chrusa. When a guy's young, he never did any averis. He never watched television. He never went on the internet. Never was done any averis. Okay, so that's when he has this bechira. Avolo achar shehugu b'malav hakoshim. Guys are ready for years. We're not talking about you people who are young, but the person who's a little bit older, who for years and years is rooted in averis, and preaches, and who knows what. So then, he doesn't have the bechir anymore. V'chein omer ayoyim, b'chol yom yom reshus nesuna bechir b'yado l'lechas b'derech ha-toivim. Such an amazing gra. The gra says that even a person who is deep seeped in averis for years and years, every day he has the ability to complete, to change and do what's right. It's an amazing. We usually assume that there's a certain point where you become addicted. We have this famous line, Nikudas Abachira, whatever it is. I can't. There's certain things I can't do anymore. You can't expect me to do certain things after being brought up and exposed certain things. I can't help myself. And I Inez Rahmana Patre. You know, what do you want from me? That's the way I was brought up. I can't. I already indulge in certain pleasures. I already whet my appetite. I got a habit. I got a certain tivus, and these tivus are so strong, and I can't help. I can't refrain. Okay, sometimes you have shmuzim that there's a person, you know, we have a chazal that there's a person, you know, an amazing maisa, but on a daily basis, to say that what the Gra is saying much more than any chazal, because he's saying, sounds like he's saying, there's like no yetzer in the world. There's no avera. It's always, a person always has bechira. There's no such thing that a person loses his bechira. It's not pshat that there was, you know, we have these chazals, the biggest Rishon, he came, said, okay, it was one person, it was a Yaitse Taifin, he was an unusual person, he had amazing kaiches, with this particular avera. The Gros Mashma, that bechol yom v'yom, every day, you have the rishus to go there at Taiva. Makes for everything. It's such an yisaitis to gagra. So you put that together with the Das Kedem. It's such an amazing inspiration for the beginning of the year that we come in, and obviously everybody's holding wherever he's holding. And we all have things perhaps that we've done that we're not so happy about. And we might have certain bad habits and certain taivas that we develop. Some of it are inborn, and some of it is we develop habits and certain whatever other chesroinus. And now we come and we say that, listen, look at Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't have to be Moshe Rabbeinu. It could be and Moshe Feinstein. It could be whoever you want to look at. Take someone who you admire and look at him and say, that person, okay, I'm not necessarily, I don't have his IQ, and I don't have his yichus, and I don't have certain other gifts that maybe he has. But as far as the bechira chavshes, to become a tzaddik, I'm no different than he is. There's mamish no difference. If he can do it, I can do it. It's a raya muchrachas. It's not, Moshe wasn't saying here sheker. He was saying emes. And if you go ahead and you say, well, listen, I was an American, so Rav Gifter was also an American, Rav Scheinberg was an American, and there are plenty of American people there that became great gedolei hador and talmidei chachamim and tzaddikim. And they grew up with the same, some of them, you know, they have the same everything, the same exposure, and that's what the Gra says, it makes no difference. You could be already seeped in averis, and you still have the potential. So this is a tremendous, I think this is the chiddush of the Das Kedem, that we have to use to inspire ourselves, the realization, the visual aid that we could go ahead and that we could become, reach a tremendous, if we have Hashem gives every person every day, no matter how, where we're holding, Every day is a new day, a new beginning. We have the ability to go ahead and reach Godness. And therefore, it's an opportunity. We start this man. Basically, everything goes after the beginning. The beginning is where you put the, if you get the right, you get the motivate, you start the right motivation and adrenaline in the beginning, it carries you through. Person should get excited and motivated that this is an opportunity that I have to reach such a tremendous high madrega. Okay, that was the end of the shmooze. I just saw, I was looking at this Sipurnu, which is not connected, but I just thought I wanted to say something on it. Not even a shmooze, just again to read it. The Sipurnu says, just to read the Sipurnu. Rei again means habita, which we said is to think in the iyun. Habita rei. Shelo ye in yoncha oivin beinani. That things that Klai Yisrael don't happen in the middle. Moshu aminig b'ashar umos, like we have by other goyim. Ki omnem anochin ifnein ifnechem ayom bracha klada. This is two extremes. In other words, the goyim, life, they're on a certain middle. There's a certain norm, middle by goyim. By Jews, there's no middle. Jews are never in the middle. They're either one extreme or the other. Either they get bracha, which is unusually good, or tremendous bad. So this Sipurnu is an amazing thing because I remember many years ago, I heard this from Rav Plashinsky. Rav Plashinsky, that Sal said that the greatest, in his opinion, I don't say the greatest, but one of the greatest proofs to Amuna was the Shoah. He said, the Shoah made no sense. He says, it's such a crazy, crazy thing. Why in the world, he says, with Germany, what do they want to kill? He says, his parents lived in some deep in Russia, and some in the middle of the woods. He says, in their city, there was not even a road to get to their city. You had to go through the path. You couldn't drive a car to their city. You had to go maybe with a horse and buggy, whatever. He says, the Russians are fighting World War II. They're trying to go ahead and conquer the world. If they win World War II, they're going to become the masters of the whole world. If they lose, they're going to get geschmettered, killed, murdered, destroyed. There's some Jew living in the middle of the woods in Russia. They don't speak German. You'll never meet the guy. The guy, he has no shaykhis to you. You'll never bump into him in a million years. He says, Germany, and again, I don't know my history, but he said, Germany lost World War II because they were too busy trying to kill the Jews. That's what he said. He said they would spend so much effort. He said, because what happened was that Germany attacked Russia, a surprise attack, those who know their history, and the Russians were not prepared, and Germany went into Russia, and then they, instead of keeping on going, they went ahead and they stopped a little bit, and they spent time wiping out all the Jews, and then they continued going. By the time they continued going, the Russians regrouped, and then they were able to slow down the German progress, even though they still could progress. And Germany never made it. They made it right before Moscow when the Russian winter came, and they basically got killed not by the Russians but by the Russian winter because they had nowhere to go. The same way that Napoleon was no big secret. The same way Napoleon lost the war because the Russian winter killed also Napoleon's army. So it was basically no secret that the Germans had to quickly smash into Russia, and they did it. They smashed in, they were going. But he said that this would hit. Now again, I don't know, you speak to a different historian, maybe I'll have different shot. Okay, I don't know. I'm not giving it world history class. But he says that Germany lost the war because they were spend too much time and too much resources killing the Jews. He says, does it make any sense? To have to go ahead and search out some Jew in the middle of the woods makes a difference to them. And you're such in a rush, you can't wait a year to kill him. It's going to make a difference. You're in the middle of fighting World War II. What are you spending? Energy, time, soldiers, weapons. He says, in the cloud, there's such a mishugan, a hatred. He said, I don't think the Jews are so terrible people that such a mishugan, a hatred a person should have. They have to wipe out every single Jew. He said, it's clearly, it's not al biderech hateva. that there should be that the world, that there should be such a low that Klal Yisrael reached during the Shoah, that the concentration camps, and that they're murdering them and they're torturing them and treating, that you that to the such the lowest of the low. He says that's the greatest Raya to Amuna. No one else gets treated like that. And then what happens after the war? A few years later, not very long later, then all of a sudden they declare the state of Israel, which is, if you know a little bit of world history, that piece of land for about 1,000 years, the Christians and the Muslims were fighting over the Crusades, who gets to control it, and all of a sudden they give it to the Jews. He says, "What's going on here?" They say, I remember, I know he didn't say, Rav Zuckerman said that he was told. Someone who was a very chashiv, someone, I don't know, he said that if you understood Catholic doctrine, you would realize that if the fact that the Jews are in control of Yerushalayim is completely slugs up the whole Catholic doctrine. And he says that's why they can't recognize it. They're like against everything they believe. You know, it's just, you don't know their doctrine, but they're against the whole concept that the Jews are the whatever, you know, they were. We went ahead and we killed Yashka, and therefore they were the cursed people. And therefore, this is the whole thing that we should control Yerushalayim, and that's against everything they believe. Even in the fact that people would come to, the Jews came to America, you know, after, you know, my parents were born here, but my in-laws, he came penniless, and I couldn't speak a word of English, nothing. And, you know, you look around, there's some pretty wealthy Jews out there. They came, you know, they came with nothing. You know, not so long ago. You know, they're not so long ago. 1940, 1950, the people came to America 50 years ago. And, you know, the people say now, the Jews control America. The Jews control the media, you know. What's going on? Where all of a sudden they went from the garnish to the, now they're controlling the world. But it's what he says. There's no middle. I don't say for every yachid, but as an ummah, as a nation, either we're the lowest of the low, or we're on the top of the world. Either we're paupers and they're in concentration camps, or they're the multimillionaires. But there's very little middle. So that's what the Sipurim is saying. It's what Plushinsky says. It's a tremendous chizik and amuna. He says you have to notice it's a clear indication that the world, that Klal Yisrael is treated differently. So when you have your son, you treat him differently. You sometimes punish him more, or you give him reward more, but he's different. He's not treated like everyone else. And he says, that's what this is really, I didn't know there was this Mefarish HaSipurno that says it. That's what Plushinsky said it, but he said Mefarish HaSipurno, that Klal Yisrael is always at those two extremes. Either they're on the top or on the bottom. And that's a person should notice it. That's Re'eve, you know, even seeing the bad is an inspiration of Emunah, because it proves to us that we're a special people. We're not like everybody else. So there's it's not connected, but it's just a tremendous chizik in Emunah when you look around the world and you see how Klal Yisrael is treated is different than everyone else of the Ummah Zayinim.